What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Plant the Spear Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse, and thanks for tuning in. Hope you guys are all having a great week as we get ready for a big game on Saturday. Florida State versus Clemson in Death Valley. These two teams are going to do battle. And this is a game that I'm really excited about because when you look at the schedule in the preseason, we thought LSU was going to be the biggest game of the year. But this is by far the most important. When you talk about Florida State as a program, kind of taking back the mountaintop or the top of the mountain that is the ACC, you know, Clemson is until they're not. And they're still on top of that ACC mountain. Even last year when we thought they were down a little bit, they still went undefeated, 9-0 in the ACC and won that ACC championship. So if Florida State wants to get back to where they want to be, this is the team that you have to knock off. This is the game that you have to win. So we're going to talk about it. I'm excited to preview this game for you guys. We're also going to touch on the BC game because apparently everybody's ready to just cancel the season and apparently we're terrible now. So I don't think that's the case. I think people are panicking for no reason or hitting the panic button too early. Now, there's some things that were concerning in that game, but we're going to talk about all that. So before we get into things, I just do want to quick word from our sponsor, Alumni Hall FSU, that has all the licensed FSU gear that you need to get ready for game day. And keep in mind, we got three home games coming up, so you're going to need some new FSU gear before you head to Tallahassee. So make sure you check those guys out online or in store. They do have a location in Tallahassee. And use code SPEAR to get 10% off, because if you're going to buy the gear anyway, you might as well get it at a better price. So do that. It helps support us and also get you some awesome Noel gear at a good price. Now, keep in mind, they're also doing their Seminole Sweepstakes giveaway, which you don't want to miss out on, to get a nice game day package that you can win for the Duke game. So check those guys out at Alumni Hall FSU. Now, let's first, before we get into things too much, we have to talk about this BC game a little bit. I know I did some quick thoughts on like an instant reaction, but it's just been a crazy week, man. Everybody is talking about we suck again, you know, whatever. Like, I hate to say it like that, but that's a lot of the comments that I've seen is maybe we weren't as good as we thought. Maybe we're not that good and this, that, and the other. And I really do think that people are panicking a little bit too early. You know, teams have tough games. They don't play well at times. Everybody has these. We saw Florida State play some bad games last year where in Wake Forest and NC State. Clemson, I don't think you really played a terrible game. You just had a few bad minutes in that game, and you lost all three of them. But this time, you still played one of the worst games we've seen Florida State play in a long time, but they still were able to come out on top. Now, there have been some rumors, which I do feel like is worth mentioning because it does make a difference. I mean, supposedly, and this is not something that I can confirm, but it has been very strongly hinted at by a player's parent that a lot of the team was dealing with the flu. They had to get IVs before the game, which does make a lot of sense why you saw them kind of flat, not a lot of energy. And, you know, it's hard. I mean, I don't know if you can tell it my voice, but I've been kind of had like a head cold, a little bit of dealing with a little sickness the last few days. And like yesterday, I stayed in bed. I didn't even want to record a podcast, let alone go out and play football at a high level. So it is something that you have to consider. That is part of it. Now, that doesn't excuse everything. That doesn't excuse some of the things that we saw in that game. That doesn't excuse you letting a team like BC give you a scare like that. But at the same time, when you look at that game, as bad as it was, at one point, Florida State was up 31-10. They were on a 28-0 run. They scored on 5 out of 6 drives and had 5 consecutive stops before they let BC get back in on that scoop and score, which really kind of got things going. And then we saw them make the uncharacteristic mistake and just not being able to field a squib kick, which is not something that you would expect from an experienced veteran team like Florida State. But if we're being honest, I think they got caught looking ahead to Clemson. I think they thought this was a team that they were just better, you know, more talented than, and they could kind of just roll the helmet out there and beat them. And BC was ready. It was a red bandana game. Their coach, you know, he was very aggressive in that game. They were ready to go. They were ready to play. They came out, they punched Florida State in the mouth, who was flat, and I don't think they were ready for that. And so they get credit for that too. Now, I don't think BC is necessarily a good team, but they might be better than we expect once they get Castellanos some experience, because he is a, you know, he's a decent quarterback when you consider the dual threat ability, but you really just saw a lack of focus. You saw a breakdown on some plays. Everybody wants to trash the coaching and talk about Adam Fuller and this, that, and the other and how the defense is terrible. But a lot of the stuff when you go back and watch the film were mistakes where players just, they do things that you can tell were not necessarily coached. And so, I mean, it's, when you look at some of the things, it's like they weren't coached to do that. There's no way they were coached to do that. And you don't know why they did it. But it's on the coaches to get it fixed. So, you know, everybody has to own responsibility. I think Norvell, that's something he talked about afterwards in the post-game speech, was how you have to have that edge in every game and how they came out and they just played flat. So it's something that I do think you can criticize them for. It was not a good game. It was not a good performance in any way, shape, or form. But it's not stuff that can't be fixed. And that's, I think, the most important takeaway are these are things that you can go back on film and you can point out to people. You know, you didn't have a couple starters on both sides of the ball, which hopefully you have back for this game. But, you know, if the flu thing is true, then that does play a part in it as well. But still, there's no excuse. I mean, you have to go in and win these games. But, I mean, you know, it is part of it. Now, when you talk about that Boston College game, I think the criticism and the noise has made it back to the locker room a little bit. You've seen some social media posts talking about the negativity that's come out and all this stuff. And, you know, people have been talking bad about some of the players and the coaches. And they see that stuff. So I do think that come this Saturday against Clemson, you're going to see a team with a chip on their shoulder. I think that they're going to be out to prove a point that people kind of panicked a little too soon on the Boston College game. But they're going to have to be focused because if they play like that this week, they're going to get beat. So I think overall, as we kind of bury the Boston College game, I don't think it's time to panic yet. Now, there's some things in that game that were concerning that will get them beat by the better teams on their schedule, especially if we're talking about keeping a playoff picture mentality for this type for Florida State this year. Those are the things you're going to have to clean up: the missed assignments, the lack of focus, doing uncharacteristic things, taking what the other team gives you, not forcing the ball into double coverage when you have an underneath route open, trying to play, you know, maybe hero ball to a degree or something like that. These are the things that have to get cleaned up or you will lose against a team like Clemson. So speaking of Clemson, let's go ahead and talk about this game because this is going to be huge. And the last thing I want to touch on that one is I do think people may have overreacted in the LSU game where they thought all of a sudden we were an elite team, you know, like maybe a 2021 Georgia type team or something where you're just going to roll over everybody. And then I think people overreacted too quickly to the BC game thinking we're terrible. Teams have bad games all the time. When you look at Georgia, they had a 4-point win against Missouri in 2021, or maybe it was last year, and still went on to win the national championship. And I posted this on social media the other day where every playoff team had a not-so-great win instead of just rolling over people, because that's just football, man. That people don't just always blow somebody out now. And I think one thing that we're seeing as well with the transfer portal and NIL is you're kind of seeing the talent gets spread more evenly across teams. So you're going to have more teams that maybe don't recruit heavily or recruit well that don't have the star rankings, but they're able to get some of these transfers in from other schools that maybe didn't get the playing time they want. You know, look at Thomas Castellanos as a good example. You know, he's a guy that came from UCF. So, I mean, really, look at Florida State. Look at Colorado. Those are two perfect examples of how that talent is able to get spread around a little bit more. And you know, if it wasn't for the portal and NIL, those two teams wouldn't be what they are today. So I do think that is one thing to keep in mind. But looking at Clemson, this game is huge. Now, we know the news came out that it's going to be kicking off at noon, which does take a little bit of the wind out of your sails when you talk about the game environment. You know, Clemson's not in the top 25. I think that adds to it as well. Florida State's coming off of a bad game. So I think this game really did lose a lot of its luster. But it's still a absolutely massive matchup for Florida State and as a program, because you've gotten better. You've won some games. You beat both of your rivals last year. You still haven't gotten over that Clemson hump. And this is the year you need to do it, because when you look at Clemson's down a little bit, you've got the most loaded roster you've had in a long time, and you're going to lose a lot of those pieces after this year. You really need to take advantage of it. If not now, then when? So to me, this is the absolute biggest game on the schedule. Obviously, every game is important, because if you follow this up with a loss, then it's going to look bad. But you know, if you lose this game, it's going to turn into the same old narrative. Oh, it's the same old Florida State. They're just not there yet. So to me, for the perception of the program, this one is absolutely huge. It's also huge for Clemson because you look at the way they lost to Duke. They got blown out first game of the season. They put together a couple of wins, even though one of them was a little tight against an FCS team until halftime when they pulled away. But this would be the perfect get-right game for them. If you could go in and, you know, at home, so you're not really going anywhere, but if you could go out there and knock off a top-five Florida State team who is the favorite to win the ACC, then, you know, I think at that point you really can right the ship with that game. You can kind of – you can't erase the Duke loss, but, you know, maybe you can say, all right, we'll chalk it up to mistakes, and now we're back to being the Clemson that we think we know we can be. So – to me, it's huge for both sides. It's not just big for Florida State. It's not just all the pressures on Florida State. And I think a lot of the pressure is on Florida State, but I think there's a lot of pressure on Clemson too, because you expect Clemson to be in the top 25 and to compete for national championships after this run that they've been on. And now they're not even in the top 25. So I think they're going to have a chip on their shoulder as well. So we will see how that plays out. But talking about this game, just because we had to deal with hurricane situations last week, I will mention that I live only a couple hours from Clemson, and the weather here has been amazing lately. You kind of get those really kind of cool mornings, and it gets hot in the afternoon, but the high for Saturday looks perfect. Only 77, 11% chance of rain, so you're going to have a beautiful day for a football game. There should be no limiting factors from the weather. Florida State is a 2.5-point favorite with the over-under at 56. So they think this game's, the oddsmakers think it's going to be a really good game. When you talk about the number four team in the country versus an unranked team is only a 2.5-point favorite, you know, but when's the last time Florida State's been favored, especially in Death Valley? So do keep in mind that Florida State is on a 7-game losing streak to Clemson. They have not won in Death Valley since 2013, which coincidentally happens to be the last time Clemson lost a night game at home. So to me, that's a big advantage why you want that noon kick versus an 8 p.m. or, you know, a nighttime game in general. When you look at, they haven't lost a night game at home in 10 years. That is really kind of an insane stat to think of. So can Florida State turn around and get things right in this one and break that streak? And just to keep in mind with the noon kick, when you look at last year and Clemson with the noon kicks, so they had two games last year that were at noon at home. They played three total noon games. So the first noon game at home was against Syracuse. They won 27-21, a 6-point win. Really kind of an ugly game. They had to bring in Cade Klubnik at the end to lead a comeback. And Florida State went and blew that Syracuse team out by 35 points just a few weeks later. Then they also played a noon game against South Carolina at home late in the season, and they lost that game. It was only by 1 point, but it snapped a 40-game home win streak. So to me, this is a big advantage for Florida State to be playing at noon. The other noon game they happened to play, which was a road game, was a 2-overtime win at Wake Forest. So I guess, you know, last year's team is not this year's team, but when you just look at those things alone, you feel a lot better about this. Also, Florida State is coming off of a noon road game. Now, I know it was a really bad game, but at least you've been through the motions of doing that. Now getting prepped for that early game, because it was their first day game. Clemson has had a day game this season, but it was, I think, at like 2:15, some kind of weird hour like that. They have not played a noon game yet. So to me, you know, in a game like this that's so big between two teams that are relatively evenly matched, you want every advantage that you can get. And to me, this is one that leans more in favor of Florida State than it does at Clemson, because playing up there at nighttime is tough. And that's one of the reasons why I picked Florida State to lose this game in the preseason, because I thought Death Valley, the way they play up there, would just be really hard and might be too much for them to overcome. Now, of course, things have changed now that we've seen the season play out the way it has, but I definitely think a noon game is to your advantage. So talking about this Clemson team, let's first run through their schedule a little bit, just to kind of refresh on what they've done so far this season. So they've only played one Power 5 opponent, and that was against Duke. We saw that first game of the season. They got beat 28-7. Which was really eye-opening to see them get beat the way they did against that Duke team. Now, they moved the ball up and down the field. They just had a lot of mistakes in the red zone, a couple of blocked field goals. But if it wasn't for a muffed punt by Duke, they would have got shut out in that game. And when you look at Duke, they only have two blue-chip players, whereas Clemson has a 70% blue-chip ratio on their roster. So that was a game that even if you played bad, you should have really won that game. But I think one thing you saw in that game was similar to what we saw against FSU Boston College. I think that Florida State and Clemson in these games thought that they had just so much more talent that they could go in there and roll the helmet out and win these games. Whereas Duke and Boston College were ready for the challenge. They were ready to pull the upset. Now, Florida State was able to fend Boston College off, whereas Clemson was not able to fend Duke off. So I think that was a big part of that game as well, which a lot of Clemson fans told me when I kind of criticized them after that game. They were like, well, we outgained and we had more first downs. We'll be fine. It was just the mistakes. But when you look at that, Duke or Clemson ran 19 more plays from scrimmage than Duke did in that game. So when you break it down in the yards per play metric, which is a lot more true telling of what you're able to do, Clemson was at 5.88 yards per play and Duke was at 5.84. Clemson has not broken the 6 yard per play mark against an FBS team yet this season, and Florida State has. So when you look at that game as well, they only had one explosive play, did not have a single pass completion over 20 yards, a 0% contested catch rate on 5 targets, and Duke had the 105th ranked pass defense last year. Now, of course, they're allowed to get better. They allowed 42.6% pressure on 42.6% of their dropbacks in that game, despite Duke only blitzing a little over 25% of the time. And to me, that's one of the big takeaways so far is this offensive line, and they were supposed to be one of the best in the ACC, but they've allowed some pressures this year, which is going to be one of the keys in this game for Florida State to get to rattle Klubnik. So when you look at what Duke was able to do, they did rush for almost 200 yards, 199 yards in that game, allowed 0 sacks, which we know a lot of that gets attributed to Riley Leonard, the quarterback at Duke, who is a baller. You know, he had 98 of those rushing yards. So, but still, I think it's one of those games where those mistakes cost Clemson. And then you saw some mistakes in game two, which had them at a 24-17 lead at halftime against a 2-win FCS team in Charleston Southern. Now, they were able to pull away and close that game out 66-17, but they had no business being in that game 24-17. But it was the turnovers that cost them. They threw a pick six, and I believe they also had a fumble that led to Charleston Southern having a 1 yard touchdown drive. Now, the reason I bring that up is because Clemson fans kept saying that the mistakes will get cleaned up and we'll be fine, but there's no guarantee that those mistakes are going to get cleaned up. And that's something we saw from Florida State, you know, under the end of Jimbo Fisher, under the Willie Taggart era, under even early Mike Norvell. Those mistakes can keep rearing their head. And, it, you know, in a game like Florida State, that might be the difference in the game because it was for them against Duke. Now, when you look at that Charleston Southern game, they did pull off in the second half, and that game was a lot more dominant than it looked. I understand 24-17 at halftime. I remember checking that score and being like, whoa, what is going on? Like, are they about to have a Jacksonville State moment? But when you look at outside of just the scare of 24-17 at halftime, they outgained them by over 600 yards. They were at 9.33 yards per play. Charleston Southern was at 3.24. So they really dominated in that game. Like I said, they outgained it by 600 yards, but that does skew some of their stats a little bit. You know, Florida State has not played a really bad FCS team, so we'll talk about, I'll elaborate more on that a little bit later. Now, game three, the one last Saturday, was at night at home against Florida Atlantic, who is not really a very good team. They, again, not a Power 5 team. Clemson had 5.94 yards per play, and Florida Atlantic was at 4.6. FAU had 4 turnovers, including a pick six, so they really... I mean, Clemson played the cleaner game in that one. So you can see week over week, they have improved. They have cleaned up some of their mistakes. But the biggest thing is they have not played anyone the same caliber as FSU. And so when they come into town, this is going to be a big challenge for them. You know, even as good as Duke is playing, they're not to the level of FSU as far as when you just talk about peer out playmakers and talent. Now, of course, they have done very well at doing more with less when you talk about on paper talent, but going on so far, they beat Lafayette and a Northwestern team that was 1-11 and has a replacement coach this year. So we still don't really know how good Duke is, but I still think Florida State is by far the toughest team that Clemson's going to face. Now, when we talk about Clemson overall, I do just want to share some thoughts that I don't think Clemson is as bad as people think. I don't think they're a not top 25 team. But when you look at their resume, it's easy to kick them out of the top 25. You got blown out by Duke. You were kind of in a dogfight early on against Charleston Southern, but then you were able to pull away and you beat FAU. So they don't really have any big wins on their resume. So the argument to be out of the top 25 is certainly there. But when you talk about just you know, looking at them versus some of the top 25 teams, if they eliminate the mistakes, I think they're a better team than people give them credit for. I don't think Clemson is at all a bad team. They've just been plagued by mistakes. Now, I also don't think that they're as good of a team as they have been in the past. I think they got some deficiencies at the skill positions, which we'll talk about. But I still think this is going to be a good game because Florida State, we just don't know which team's going to show up. Are you going to get the second half of the LSU team or are you going to get the Boston College team? Now, given that, like we talked about earlier, the noise that they've heard, I think they're going to come in with a chip on their shoulder. I think they're going to respond this week. But it's a big game. So looking at Clemson again, they lost 6 turnovers in the first 3 games. They've had 7 penalties, 4 penalties, and 5 penalties. They're only 1 of 4 on their field goals, 25%, which is really bad. Now, I did see on social media the other day that they brought in their backup kicker from last year. He's like taking online classes so he could enroll, and I guess he's going to be there in reserve. Maybe they're going to turn to him, but it doesn't look like he got a lot of work last year because they had BT Potter, who was a great kicker for them. So I don't know that it's really going to make a difference, but it does give them another option. But if this game comes down to a field goal, you know, maybe we're not the ones sweating this time around because Fitzgerald has been good this year, knock on wood. But they're still a really good team that has a lot of talent. And if they can clean some things up, they've gotten better week over week. I still think Florida State is the better team when you look at the amount of playmakers that you have. But, you know, I'm not as down on Clemson as a lot of people are. Now, these teams are a little closer when you look at some of the more advanced metrics than people think. So looking at S&P Plus, which is opponent and pace of play adjusted, Florida State overall team ranking comes in at 13th. Whereas Clemson comes in at 16th. Florida State's offense is at 8th. Clemson's is at 26th. Florida State's defense is at 23rd. Clemson's is at 7th. Now, I know everybody wants to fire Adam Fuller because you have the 101st ranked total defense. Total defense can be misleading because that has a lot to do with how many yards you give up. And if you play a bend-don't-break style defense or you get into garbage time, total defense can be a misleading stat. You need to look at yards per play, scoring defense, or some of the more advanced metrics that adjust for things like that. So it's still a top 25 defense. But you can see here where Florida State gets the edge on offense, Clemson gets the edge on defense, almost identical. You know, 26 on offense versus 23rd on defense, 8th on offense versus 7th on defense. So it's really, these are really two kind of evenly matched teams when you look at some of the more advanced metrics. Now, again, keep in mind the level of competition as well. Florida State in the S&P rankings has played the 11th, 84th, and 113th ranked teams. Clemson has played the 30th, 91st, and an unranked FCS team because they don't get counted in that. So, you know, you could argue, like I said, that they're closer, but obviously you also have to keep in mind the level of competition when you talk about who Florida State has played. You know, yeah, Duke is playing well this year and they're ranked, but they're not anything like the LSU team, who really right now looks like the best team in the SEC, and that win looks even better. So that's why another reason why I don't think we need to just cancel the season and burn the stadium down, because you had a close game against Boston College. This is still the same team that blew out LSU that looks really, really good right now. So let's first talk about the Clemson offense here. Their scoring offense are averaging 40.3 points per game. Florida State is currently at 47.3 points per game. Explosive plays, they've generated 10 this season, which has been one of the areas they have struggled in, and we'll elaborate on that in just a second. Explosive plays is at 19 for Florida State. Third down offense is pretty comparable here. Florida State's converting at 42.9%. Clemson is at 48.7. Red zone offense, Florida State gets the advantage here with scoring on 100% of the red zone trips. Clemson is at 68.4. which we know that a lot of that has to do with their field goals, but they've also fumbled the ball a lot in the red zone. Almost like, I think Duke, they had 2 fumbles inside the 5-yard line. And another area that stands out for me is the pressures and sacks allowed. Now, they've only given up 2 sacks, but they've allowed 38 pressures compared to 24 by Florida State and only 1 sack for FSU. But again, considering the competition, when the best team that you played was Duke and you've given up 38 pressures, you know, that offensive line doesn't look as good as maybe you thought it was going to in early in the season, which was picked to be one of the best offensive lines in the ACC. So I do think Florida State should be able to get pressure in this game, but Klubnik is not a guy that's easy to get to the ground. Now, he's not really to the level of scrambler that we have seen in the LSU game against Jaden Daniels or in the last game versus Thomas Castellanos, but he's not a statue back there. He will move. He will run the ball. He does have a low pressure to sack ratio at only 5.3%. It was 10% against the Duke game, and that's how many times you were able to sack him when you got pressure. You know, he's a pretty elusive guy, but you can, if you can get back there and you can get him on the ground, he's a type of guy that you can rattle. And we saw that stemming back to the Tennessee game last year in the Orange Bowl, where you get some pressure on him, you get some happy feet, maybe he runs it or throws the ball when he's not supposed to. He's also been prone to turnovers. He's had 3 fumbles and 2 interceptions so far this season. He's been responsible for 5 of their 6 turnovers. So I think it's going to be huge for Florida State to get pressure in this game. Now, talking about the quarterback here, so we already talked about Klubnik and some of his struggles on offense, but when you look at his big-time throw rate, it's at 2.7%, which is pretty low. And that's kind of those throws where you drop it in a bucket down the field. He had a 0% big-time throw rate against Duke. His turnover-worthy play rate is 4.2%, 6.5% against FAU. So the number actually got worse as the season went on. And when looking at that number against quarterbacks with a similar sample set, that is the 9th highest among Power 5 quarterbacks and the 19th overall in FBS. So you have some opportunities here. If you can rattle Klubnik to make some, you know, maybe get some turnovers through a fumble or an interception or what have you there. Now, his QBR has not been the greatest, which is something that we've seen him struggle a little bit. It is at 43.4, which is 95th in the country. And he's averaging only 6.5 yards per attempt compared to Jordan at 8.7. His completion percentage is a little bit higher than Jordan, 66.4 to 64.3, but that has a lot to do with the type of offense they run. They don't push the ball down the field very much. 693 yards compared to 729 for Jordan. 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Jordan has 8 touchdowns, 1 interception, so pretty close there. Now, Jordan has the better QBR, 87.9. His big-time throw rate is 4.3%. And you don't expect a really high, like it. You don't see anybody in double digits, but it, that little bit does make a big difference. Turnover-worthy play rate is down at 3% for Jordan. And to be honest, we've seen some kind of crazy throws from him that he really shouldn't have been making. So, you know, hopefully that's something that we get cleaned up now. But just talking about Cade Klubnik, like, he's a good quarterback. I don't want to say that he's not. I don't want people to think that I'm saying he's not good. But I think a lot of it, too, and this is something I talked about in the preseason, was catching him early in a new offense I thought was beneficial for FSU. And at the same time, looking back to last year even, he played against North Carolina, who we know doesn't play defense, Tennessee, who had a terrible defense last year, and then you also look into this year, they played Duke, who their strength is really offense. They returned 99.5% of their yards on offense. Their defense was something they had to kind of get figured out. You also played against 2 other bad teams, which we already talked about. So he has not faced a defense in his career as a starter like he's going to see on Saturday against FSU. So I feel like while he's a good quarterback, he's still young, he's still learning, he's in a new offense, and you can have success if you can rattle him, if you can get him off kilter here. So that's something I'm really looking for in this game. Florida State's defensive line needs to step up because he has struggled under pressure, and we've seen him make some mistakes. Now, he is actually better against the blitz than he is not. So it's going to be really crucial for Florida State to be able to get pressure with their defensive line. So when you look at his under pressure numbers, his completion percentage is only 38.2%, 3.7 yards per attempt, 1 touchdown, and 2 interceptions. So again, when we talk about this offense, one of the things that really stands out to me is their inability to push the ball down the field. So when you look at how many passes, when you look at the short, middle, and deep passing for them, with your short being 0 to 9 yards, and then 10 to 19, and then 20 plus, Clemson, they do struggle to push the ball down the field. And like we said, they didn't have a single explosive play against Duke. 68.5% of their passes go for under 10 yards. So they like to dink and dunk, take the short stuff, and try and let their playmakers work in space. For reference, Florida State's passes under 10 yards are at 47.6%. Now, they only have 10 attempts over 20 yards, and 4 of them came last week against FAU. Now, the reason that's important is, like, if you take a team like Florida State, who's prone to explosive plays, 3rd in the country last year, they were top 15 before this game. I have to check again and see where they're at now, but they are good at generating explosive plays, and this is something we talked about in the LSU game. If Florida State were to jump out to a lead, and this is why Clemson fans, I disagreed with them when they said, well, we moved the ball just in a different way. But if you get behind, can you catch up with not being able to push the ball down the field? So that will be something to watch as well. Now, to be honest, I think Florida State does force the ball downfield a little bit too much, and that's something we saw in the BC game where there were some things underneath that were open that they need to learn to take. You don't need to force the ball to your playmakers just because you maybe want to get Keon Coleman touches or because he is the receiver that he is. You need to learn to take the stuff underneath, because there was a lot of times in that game where Jordan threw in a double coverage and there was something, you know, maybe a slant route or something that was open across the middle. So that'll be something to watch as well. But again, Clemson doesn't really push the ball down the field. So as long as you can keep everything in front of you and contain them, then you can limit their big play offense. Now, talking about the offensive line, because this is something we mentioned earlier with the pressures. Now, again, keep in mind that after the Duke game, which was up at over 40%, they played some bad teams. But so far, you're looking at allowing a 32.8% pressure rate so far this season against some not great competition. Florida State is currently allowing 26.1%. So there's going to be some opportunities to get in the backfield against this offensive line. And like we said, you need it to be from your defense. But I would not be mad if they brought a little bit of heat in this game early on just to kind of throw Klubnik off. Now, when you look at the running game, this is really the strength for Clemson. This is where their bread is buttered, if you want to say. So far, currently this season, they are at 217 yards per game on average, which is 15th in the country. But what I find interesting about them is when you erase that FCS game, and I know what happened, but when you look at just FBS, now we know they've only played one Power 5 team, and FAU is not a very good FBS team, but again, it's just a whole different world when you start talking about FCS teams, especially one that was as bad as Charleston Southern with a two-win team. So if you remove that, their stats look a lot different. That yards per game average drops to 141 yards per game in FBS only. Will Shipley currently is allowing averaging 6.3 yards per carry, but he doesn't have a touchdown this season, so that's a little interesting as well. Phil Maffa, he is their power back, 169 yards on the season, 6.8 yards per carry. He has their rushing touchdowns. Klubnik has 90 yards, 4.5 yards per carry. Like we said, he's not a guy that is a quote-unquote dual threat, but he's not a statue either. So really one of the keys to the game for me is going to be trying to slow down this rushing attack. We know last year, looking at that game, what really killed you, and we know Florida State's rush defense was not that good last year with Fabian Lovett being out. Will Shipley ran for 121 yards in that game, and that's really one of the things that killed you the most. So you're going to have to contain this run game if you want to beat Clemson. That is like the number one key to the game is controlling Shipley and, you know, what they're able to do. Because I feel like, you know, we'll talk about the receivers next, but I feel like you can win some battles against these receivers. It's kind of an underwhelming group, but they still have a good 1-2 punch in the backfield. So you're going to have to really try and contain this run game. That's going to be one of your biggest keys. But again, like we said, when you look at against FBS only, that yards per game average drops to 141. Now, we do know that FSU has improved their run defense. When you look at what they have at defensive tackle now, the depth and the experience that they have has definitely stepped up for them this year. It's just really the mobile quarterbacks that have killed them. And so I got a couple stats for you here. When you look at what Florida State has done against running backs alone, not counting scrambling quarterbacks, the LSU running backs had 49 yards in that game. Southern Miss, the backs combined, had 117 yards. But when I went through the drive chart and did some math, they added about roughly 31 yards before Florida State started pulling the starters. Boston College running backs only had 57 yards. When you look at Florida State, they've given up 369 total rushing yards, but only 160 of that came against the non-quarterbacks, so against the running backs and things like that. So really, when you look at it, they've been able to limit the running backs well. It's just the running quarterbacks that have killed you. So at least you don't really have that in this game, but I'm sure Clemson probably knows that, so they may have some design runs ready for Klubnik. But again, he's just not the same type of runner there. And I think it is also worth mentioning that Clemson doesn't have a lot of depth at quarterback. Outside of Cade Klubnik, which we know last year they had DJ Uyunglele. I think that's how you probably said that wrong. But if something happened to him, they would turn to Klubnik. This year, they don't really have any experience. So they have to be really calculated risk with what they do with him. Because if he goes down, they might be in trouble. They're going to go to a really inexperienced guy. So, you know, again, Florida State has been good at bottling up backs. But these are going to be probably, you know, these are going to be the best backs that you've faced so far. some of the best backs that you faced all season. You know, Shipley was a 1,000-yard rusher last year. Moffa's a big dude. So you're really going to have to work hard to contain them, because that's going to be probably where the game is won or lost, is how you can stop Clemson's rush attack. Now, talking about their wide receivers, this is somewhere where I feel like Florida State can have an advantage in their secondary, which we know didn't play well last week. Now, Akeem Dent was out, so hopefully he'll be back. He's listed on the depth chart, but we know Florida State, they don't give out injury news. They'll still list you on the depth chart and then not play you. But this has really been an underwhelming group. So when you look so far on the season, they have 8 drop passes, 7 of 20 on contested catches, which is only 35% catch rate. Bo Collins, who is a big receiver, he does lead the team in receiving with 197 yards, but 137 of those came against Charleston Southern. When you look at Antonio Williams, which is more their speedy receiver, which is a guy that caught the initial touchdown for them last year against Florida State, he comes in second with 145 yards, but he had 64 of that against Charleston Southern, the bad FCS team. So it's really just been kind of an underwhelming receiver group so far. They've not done well at winning one-on-one catches. So, you know, if you have a young quarterback that you can rattle combined with an underachieving receiver group, I feel like you can really limit what they can do through the air. And that's why they lean so heavy on the run. Their leading tight end only has 43 yards and 1 touchdown on the season. So to me, when it comes to Florida State's defense, you'll have, you know, now I'm not going to say that the receivers aren't good, because Bo Collins, I believe, is 6'4", and Antonio Williams is a good receiver. It's just, you don't feel as scared about their receivers as maybe you did like in LSU with Malik Nabers and some of their guys. So I think you've seen better receivers so far this season in LSU with Kyron Lacy and, like we mentioned, Malik Nabers and Mason Taylor at tight end. So you've seen a better group, and you did pretty good against them. So I feel like you should have an advantage there. Now, talking about the defense, looking at what Clemson has been able to do, this is still a team that's loaded with NFL talent on the defensive line. Now, they really haven't done a lot with the talent that they have, but their front seven is still very good. They, like I said, you have NFL caliber guys on your defensive line, and they're deep. They have a lot of talent up there. They have a lot of size on their defensive line. You also have two of the best linebackers in college in Jeremiah Trotter and Barrett Carter. So these are two guys that have been, you know, on paper, they're really good, and they're really good players. I don't want to say that they're not. But again, when you look at what Clemson or Duke was able to do, running for almost 200 yards against them, this is a game that you really want to see Florida State be able to get the run game going, which they've kind of struggled to do this year. So, and, you know, maybe that means getting Keziah Holmes some carries. Maybe that means getting Rodney Hill more carries. You know, we've seen Trey Benson struggle a little bit, but I think a lot of people are ready to throw Trey Benson back in the portal. I just don't think that's the case. I mean, I don't know. You know, Dylan Gibbons was a huge part of this offensive line last year, not only as a good physical run blocker, but as a leader as well. So, you know, I think you're seeing his presence being missed a little bit. Also, remember last week against BC, you didn't have Maurice Smith, your starting center. You didn't have your starting left tackle, Robert Scott. So hopefully those guys are back. And this could be an opportunity for them to maybe get the run game going. But like we talked about it with the offense as well, when you look at what they did, excluding that FCS game, because they only allowed 74 yards in that game, which is really kind of ridiculous to not even get 100 yards in a football game, they really just absolutely dominated them. So we're going to talk about their stats, and then we're going to talk about them against the FBS opponents only, because it does tell a little bit of a different picture. So looking at their scoring defense, they are 50th currently in the country, allowing 19.7 points per game. But they're allowing 21 versus FBS. Now, when you look at their pass defense, they're allowing 148 yards per game, which is 10th in the country. If you take out that FCS game against FBS opponents only, that number goes up to 193 yards per game, which is 31st in the country. Run defense, they're currently allowing 98 yards per game, 35th in the country. Against FBS only, that jumps to 141 yards per game, which is 70th in the country. So you can see there's the opportunity to get some runs against them, allowing 141 yards a game. When you're talking about against two FBS teams in Duke and FAU, I feel like you should be able to run the ball as effectively as them. Now, a lot of that is going to account for Jordan being able to run the ball. He's going to have to start running it more. I think we've seen at times where Jordan, I think he's trying to prove a point. You know, a lot of people talked about can he throw the ball, and is he a running back playing quarterback? I think he's out to prove a point that he can pass the ball, and he's great at passing the ball. I mean, that's all fine and dandy. You want him to play the quarterback position the way it's intended, but he's an elite runner. He's an elite scrambler, and you need him to use that ability, and it's not something we've seen. And a lot of times Florida State gets in tight games until he realizes that he can run the ball, and that's when they pull off. So you need them to be able to do that. Now, of course, we know he got injured last week, and he didn't really run the ball afterwards. I'm hoping that he's healthy and ready to go for this week. That is something that we'll have to monitor, but he's going to have to run this game. And we saw it was effective last year. That's what kept Florida State in that game. You know, him running the read option, it's going to be something that he's going to need to do. So looking at Clemson, they have 4 total sacks on the year, which is 109th. They've kind of struggled to pressure some teams this year. They've not really put up the sack numbers that we're used to at a place like Clemson. Only 1.33 sacks per game and only 2 sacks against FBS teams. So that number gets cut in half. Your tackles for loss follow the same narrative. 24 on the season, 23rd in the country. But against FBS, that number drops to 14th or 46th in the country. And like we mentioned, they gave up 200 rushing yards to Duke. And Riley Leonard had 98 of those. But that was their only Power 5 opponent. And they got gashed in that game. So Florida State should be able to get the run game going, which I think is going to be important in this one, to be able to move the ball on the ground. And like I said, a lot of that's going to require Jordan to run the ball as well. So I think that when you look at the Florida State offense versus the Clemson defense, really the narrative of what's going to allow you to have success in this game is blocking them up front. That's something Duke really struggled to do. I know they didn't give up any sacks. A lot of that had to do with Riley Leonard's running ability, but they could not block that defensive line, and he was running for his life most of the night. So Florida State is going to have to limit that, because we feel like their secondary has some questions as well. Now, I don't think it's a bad secondary by any means. They have some talented pieces last year. This year they struggled last year, but they dealt a lot with injuries. And so if they're healthy, their secondary is not bad. I don't want to sound like I think they're terrible, but it's maybe not as good as they have been in the past. And with your receivers, I think you feel good about being able to win some of these matchups, but Jordan needs to have time to throw the ball. You know, he's good at scrambling and rolling out, but he can't be on his back. So you're going to have to block them. And that's something I said after I watched the Duke Clemson game. If you can block them up front and you can have, or maybe you have a mobile quarterback who can move the pocket, I think you can have a lot of success against this defense. And so we'll have to see Florida State do that in this game. I think the key outside of blocking them is also taking what they give you. If they have an underneath route that's available, if you can use your legs and scramble for a first down, you need to take those. You don't need to force things, because we know Clemson has been a mistake-prone team, just like Florida State has. But they've had a turnover problem, so you want to allow them to make mistakes. Let the game come to you. And I think that's going to be huge in this one for Florida State. But, you know, if you can block that front or you can move the pocket, then I feel like you can have a lot of success and get the run game going. That will help as well. So, you know, outside of that, we'll talk about some keys to victory as we get ready to kind of wind things down. You know, we already talked about their special team struggles. That's something to watch. I don't know who's going to be their kicker. Maybe it's the freshman replacement. Maybe it's the guy that they just brought in. Either way, you feel like if this game comes down to a kick or a field goal or something like that, you feel a little bit better about Florida State. We might not be the ones sweating this year, thank goodness. So looking at my keys to victory for Florida State, I think number one is going to be contain the Clemson rushing attack. Like we already talked about, last year Will Shipley ran for 121 yards against this defense, and he really is the heart of that offense. He is the engine that makes it go. So if you can contain that, and if you can make Klubnik beat you through the air, now he's a good quarterback. I don't want to act like he's not, but with an underwhelming receiving core and a young quarterback, if you can force him to beat you, I think you have a really good chance in this game. But you cannot let Shipley run all over you like he did last year. But again, like we talked about, I think Florida State's defensive line is in a completely different place than it was last year. And Clemson's offense has, you know, their offensive line may not be as good as it was last year when they came to Tallahassee. So for me, key number two is going to be to rattle Cade Klubnik. We know this is only his 4th start. He gets happy feet at times when you get pressure on him. He's been turnover prone, 5 turnovers in the first 3 games. And he hasn't faced a defense like this. He has not faced a defensive line like Florida State's. Now, I understand Florida State's sack numbers and stuff like that has not really been overly impressive like it was last year. Teams know the game plan for that type of stuff. You've seen a lot of, you know, quick release type offenses to kind of mitigate that. But at the same time, like, if you can get in the backfield and you can rattle Klubnik and you can get pressure on him with just your defensive line, would be extremely beneficial, where you don't have to blitz and leave them, you know, some one-on-one situations. You can have a really successful game, I feel like, because Klubnik is a guy where he's still young, he's still coming along, he's still new in this offense, but he makes mistakes. And if you can rattle him, then I feel like that's really going to do a lot for Florida State in this game. Like we talked about, under pressure, only 3.7 yards per attempt, one touchdown, two interceptions, 38.2% completion percentage. But again, he's been good against the blitz, so you're going to have to kind of find your balance there. But like I said, I would bring Heat early and kind of throw him off there if that was me. Now, again, he is kind of hard to bring down, only 5.3% pressure to sack ratio. So once you get back there, you need to make sure you get him on the ground. And the third key is limit the mistakes. This is something that we've seen from both teams that has reared its head in pretty much all three games, that thankfully Florida State has been able to overcome their mistakes. They cleaned things up in the second half of the LSU game and ran away with that one. Southern Miss, they were just so much better than that opponent. Even the slow start by the offense, they still blew them out. And then BC, they made the most amount of mistakes, which is concerning to me that Florida State seems to be making more mistakes as the season progresses, whereas Clemson seems to be cleaning theirs up. But, you know, if they can get those cleaned up, I feel like this is almost a game where which team can play the least worst game, you know what I mean? Like, which team can not turn the ball over? Which team can not have the most penalties? Which team can not miss kicks and things like that? So to me, Florida State needs to just play a clean brand of ball and let Clemson make the mistakes. Let them be the team to give the turnovers and stuff like that. So that really is one of the biggest keys to this game, is just playing clean. Because if we see the Clemson, or if we see the Florida State that comes out and plays like they did in the second half of the LSU game, and maybe Clemson makes some mistakes like they did in the Duke game, where they're under a little bit more pressure, they're against a better opponent. You know, you can overcome a lot of those mistakes when you play someone who's not good. But when the pressure's on you, maybe you're behind a little bit, you start forcing things like they did in the Duke game, then that can really open the door for Florida State to take charge in this game. So to me, you just really have to limit those things and play a clean game. I feel like Florida State is the more battle-tested game or team in this game. When you talk about, they've already played LSU, who looks really good right now. They look like the best team in the SEC. So I think you have faced an opponent unlike Clemson has seen. I think that in certain areas, Clemson is probably better than LSU, especially like when you talk about the defensive line, and they didn't have Mason Smith, so I think maybe Clemson has a better defensive line. You know, the linebackers, I think, you know, of course, Harold Perkins is a great linebacker, but this is a really good duo that you have here at Clemson as well. So, you know, Clemson's still a really good team. They're a lot better than who you faced the last 2 weeks, but LSU overall it was a really good challenge, test one. And, you know, you haven't played any bad FCS teams. Southern Miss might not be good, but they're still a G5 bowl team who's as good or better than Florida Atlantic. And so I really do think that not only have you faced a better team in week one, but you also had the adversity last week that you had to overcome. And, you know, you've been kind of hit with that really good opponent, whereas Clemson is going to be in for something that they haven't seen. Now, they played good teams in the past, but, you know, with a lot of the new players they got, they have not faced a team like Florida State. So Clemson, again, they're still a good team, and I still think this is going to be a really, you know, both teams are going to get theirs a little bit, and this is going to be like a heavyweight bout. Just because Clemson's out of the top 25 doesn't mean they don't have talent, doesn't mean they haven't gotten better week over week. It's just been against bad competition. So, you know, how much better have they gotten when they haven't really been tested? And that's what we're going to find out on Saturday. Now, I will say that there is some extra motivation in this game. When you talk about, you have Jaheim Bell on your team who is from South Carolina. You have Gilbert Edmond on your team from South Carolina who really doesn't like Clemson. You also have Mike Norvell who, to me, if there's like a hit list that he keeps, you know, taped to his bedroom wall or something like that, Dabo Swinney has to be number one on that list through the COVID things that came out and just the kind of bad blood between the two programs and the two coaches and some of the comments that were made and the way they beat Florida State, like especially in the 59-10 game where they really didn't let off the gas. I think Mike Norvell is really out to prove a point this season. Now, we know he talked to them a lot last week after that close win about the edge and the focus and doing the little things right. And so if they can correct that and we can see Florida State play like they did in the second half of that LSU game, if Mike Norvell gets the opportunity, and I don't think it's going to be a blowout like that, but if they get the opportunity to stretch the lead a little bit, I don't think you're going to see him let off the gas in any way, shape, or form. I think you're going to see him pull out all the stops. This is going to be one of those all gas, no breaks type of games. You could see maybe him bust out some trick plays like we saw in LSU last year and things like that with the flea flicker. I just feel like this is, especially knowing that they had the bye week next week, so you can really let it all hang out in this one. I really do think that with how important this game is, and just like I said, the bad blood between the two, Mike Norvell has to want this a lot. This would be a huge win for him just to get over that Clemson hump. And I think that's important because this is a game that is really crucial for them to win, not only for the perception of the program, but for the remainder of the season. And we have seen Mike Norvell teams throughout his tenure here be prepared for those big games. They played well against North Carolina even when they were a bad team, and they beat North Carolina when they were a top five team. They beat LSU last year. They blew them out this year. They don't typically play down to the competition like we saw against Boston College, and then we saw even in Jacksonville State back in the day. But, you know, we saw last year where they played a bunch of bad teams and they blew them out of the water. But Florida State does at times tend to, I think that is something they're guilty of, is not so much not taking opponents seriously, but kind of going a little vanilla in some of those games, and it ends up being closer than what it should be. But I do think they're going to let it all hang out in this one, and I do think they're going to have a chip on their shoulder like we talked about because of the noise that they've heard. So with that being said, I think that this is a huge game, and I think that Clemson is going to be playing a little bit of the underdog mentality because they're not ranked, and everybody thinks Florida State's going to win, which a lot of that has changed after the BC game, which honestly, I'm perfectly okay with that. But I think both of these teams really want this game because, like we talked about in the opening, this would be the perfect way for Clemson to get their season back on track with a top five win over Florida State. For Florida State, this is the perfect way to finally put that feather in your cap that you are over the Clemson hump, that you can win those big games. And if they lose, it'll be like this is the same old Florida State. They've gotten better, but they still can't beat Clemson. So this one means a lot for both sides. I know last week was a scare, and it honestly has me a little more nervous than I probably should be about this game because I was a little confident early on. I still think this is a really going to be a close kind of dogfight type-ish game because Clemson's probably a better team than most people give them credit for. But I still think Florida State being at noon, having that early test against LSU, kind of rebounding, hearing some of the noise, if the flu rumors were true last week and that had a lot to do with that game, I just think they're going to get it together and they're going to respond this week. I think, like we talked about, they heard the noise and they're going to come out ready to prove a point. So I think Florida State gets it done in this one. I have a score prediction of Florida State 34, Clemson 24. I think they're going to be able to go in there and handle things there. So who knows? Maybe it's even a special teams play or something along the lines that happens. Hopefully we can cover squib kicks this week. But I do think Florida State gets it done. I think they get the win over Clemson. They finally get over that hump, and they snap that 7-game losing streak and get their first win in Death Valley since 2013. So it's going to be an exciting one. I can't wait. You know, like I said, I know some of the environment gets killed a little bit with that noon game, but overall, I think Florida State, just coming off of a noon road game, I think they're going to be ready for this one. So as long as they bring the intensity, as long as they have life about them, and we've heard throughout the week that they've had intense practices like they did for the LSU week, so I think they're going to be ready to go, and I think they're going to go up there and get it done. So for me, I got the Noles beating the Tigers 34-24. And we'll be back with some post-game coverage, so you guys check that out as well. And stay connected with us for all the coverage that we have coming up. I just dropped a Florida State versus Clemson hype video for this game, just to kind of get you going a little bit. Not that if you needed it, because this is already a big game. And, you know, like I said, most of you guys know I live in the Charlotte area. I live in upstate South Carolina. So I need this one. I need this game. You know what I mean? It's been 10 years since I've had bragging rights up here, so please, Florida State, give me some ammunition, because I live around Clemson fans. I work with Clemson fans. I need this one. So hopefully we come out on top Saturday. Hopefully we have some bragging rights for a little bit up here, and it'll be a fun game. So with that being said, guys, we'll go ahead and wrap it up here. Thank you so much for listening. Go Noles.